I read an article earlier this week, and the title of the article was, Why Was Good Friday Necessary? It didn't shed any new light on the subject for me, and I think most of us are familiar with the idea that the Old Testament, the law required a sacrifice to atone for our sins, and that sacrifice used to take place in the form of a sheep, blameless, flawless, and the family would pray their sins onto the sheep, and then the sheep would be taken to the temple and sacrificed by the priest in the Holy of Holies at the altar. And God saw fit to offer us once and for all a sacrificial lamb, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The reason that we're here tonight, the reason that we can worship, the reason that we can approach God in prayer, the reason that we can look forward to eternal life. When the sixth hour came, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of the bystanders heard it, they began saying, Behold, he is calling Elijah. Someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave him a drink, saying, Let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the centurion, who was standing right in front of him, saw the way he breathed his last, he said, Truly, this man was the Son of God. There were also some women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, the less, and Joseph and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they used to follow him and minister to him, and there were many other women who came up to him in Jerusalem. This is the account of Good Friday as recorded in the Gospel of Mark. I spent a lot of time this week thinking about Good Friday. And I don't think the word good necessarily is the best descriptive word to be used in this case. The events of Good Friday are ultimately a paradox, aren't they? It's a double-edged sword. It's both terrible and wonderful at the same time. It's both scandalous and beautiful at the same time. It's the worst kind of hate and the best kind of love all at once. On this day, we were convicted and pardoned, condemned and freed, cursed and blessed. It was the darkest day. Many who'd followed Jesus up until now fled from the events of Friday, and those who stayed to watch wept in horror. Put yourself there. Imagine having followed Jesus, trusting him as the Messiah, the prophesied one. And then as he was led to the cross and endured his fate, what emotions would be going through your body, through your mind, through your heart? The events took place, a phony trial. The mob that cried out for blood of the man who was unbending in the weight of their demands and expectations. A brutal beating. The cruelty of the soldiers. The grueling walk through the city that he had entered to cheers just 5 days earlier. The nails pounded into flesh. The tortured body slouched over. The naked man died as his enemies jeered. To his disciples, those that had given up everything in order to follow him, this day was everything but good. This man in whom they put all their hopes was hanging dead on a tree. This was the death of their faith, the crushing of all their hopes for a new kingdom, and the end of all that they believed in. Unlike us, they weren't privy to the information of Easter. To them, this was it. It was over. As his followers lay Jesus in the tomb on that same dark day, Easter Sunday lied in wait for them. But on Friday, they couldn't see it. They couldn't see the defeat of death, the glory of the resurrection, or the advancement of God's kingdom. They didn't have anything to hold on to anymore. They couldn't see the whole story. There was no way around Good Friday for them. Only through Good Friday. Through pain and death and burial and mourning. I hope that for us it's the same. I hope that we don't overlook the importance of Good Friday. It's very easy for us to ignore these events and just look on towards Easter because everything's going to be okay. Had these events not happened, the prophecies would have not been fulfilled and the Messiah would have not completed his mission here on earth. We have to go through the darkness of Good Friday to get to the light of Easter. There is a time of mourning, a spirit of somberness. I feel like every year I reflect on this and it becomes more and more meaningful to the story that is redemption. And maybe it's the fact that I'm fighting a cold this year that makes it even more impactful to, you know, there's a lot of things that I wanted this week to be, and I had to lay those things down because of my illness. So we suffer with Christ. We bear our cross right alongside. God is a God of light, and so darkness cannot survive in his presence. And so those of us, who are all of us, that have dark hearts full of sin, we should tremble at this fact. Romans tells us we all fall short. But Jesus, who was completely good, cloaked himself in the darkness of our sin and stood under the wrath of God for us. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become righteous. On the cross, he was destroyed and cut off from his Father. That was to be our fate. That was our condemnation. That was our judgment. That was our verdict. If there was an obituary for Jesus, his cause of death would have been your sins, my sins. On the first Good Friday, in the midst of the darkest hour, God did not cut us off because someone took our place. Jesus Christ, our true light, plunged himself into the darkness so that we might live in the light. We can go through the darkness of this day because Jesus went through it before us. He is saving us and bringing us about our everlasting joy in a way that only God could have chosen. In just a moment, I'm going to invite Brianne up to share a song with us. And I want you to take this time and the time that follows to reflect silently on the events of Good Friday, on the events that took place that day some 2,000 years ago. Imagine the darkness, the eerie, unnatural darkness. Imagine the feeling surging through the hearts and the minds of the disciples. Maybe you want to reread Isaiah 53 and reflect on the amount of brokenness Christ endured for you. When she's done singing and when you're ready, I invite you to bring your stone to the front and place it at the foot of the cross, symbolically receiving his sacrifice on your behalf. Maybe for you, this stone represents those areas in your life that you have yet to surrender to Christ. Will you let them go tonight? Maybe it represents the beautiful reality that is already present in your life, that you are living as a redeemed child of God, fully aware of the great love that Christ has for you, fully accepting of the sacrifice he made, and fully present in the with God life. Maybe this represents the first time you've really let go of your sinful disposition in exchange for the righteousness offered by Christ's sacrifice. Maybe this is the day you say, God, I finally get it. I'm not capable of doing this by myself, but I know that I don't have to, because you already did it for me. I accept the sacrifice you made for me on the cross and the promise of eternal life that comes from a real and whole relationship with you. So whether you find yourself in one of these places or somewhere in between, I invite you to participate in this time of reflection with a somber appreciation and of acceptance for the love represented in the cross of Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 15, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." In addition to the laying of your stones at the foot of the cross, I'd like to invite you to participate in a time of open worship with us. And as I read from Mark earlier, upon Jesus' death, the veil of the temple was torn in two, which means that we can keep company with God. No longer requires a priest to intercede for us. And we celebrate this fact in a time called open worship or Quaker communion, where we make ourselves available to the Holy Spirit. And if during this time you feel led to share a prayer, a word, a thought, a song, we invite you to stand and one of our ushers will bring you a microphone. You know, as I sat here and looked at this pile of rocks, and John knocked that over, I wondered if any of you wanted to come and take this and carry it with you the rest of your life. Because that would be really symbolic of what a lot of us choose to do. We accept the sacrifice Jesus made, but we hold on to that peace, that thing that we struggle with, that thing that's just ours that we don't trust that Jesus can do anything with. Something that doesn't get talked about a whole lot, that I actually had a conversation with a couple of people before most of you arrived, is that Jesus took our sins upon himself and he went to hell with them. So from Good Friday to Easter Sunday, Jesus took our pile of rocks and he left them in hell. So don't take them back. Leave them there. Accept that gift of peace, that light and easy yoke that he promises you. He wants to take your heavy one, the one that's piled down with rocks, and he wants to leave it down there in hell where it belongs. So go trusting that promise, that you don't have to carry that heavy rock because it's where it belongs. Father, we thank you. We praise you, we worship you, we adore you. Lord, we trust you. Help us to leave those things that weigh us down where they belong and to accept the freedom, the joy, and that peace that surpasses our understanding that you promise us. We look forward to celebrating the resurrection, to living in the light of that truth, and to being free, as you promise. Thank you and praise you. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and all of God's people said, Amen. Thanks for being here, and it was good to worship with you. Go in peace.